multifamily mindset
podcast.
Think bigger.
Welcome to this episode of the Multifamily Mindset Podcast. It is me, your host, Jackson Campbell, joined back again, not back again. I guess this is my second episode as the host with Melissa Elizondo. Melissa, how are you today? Thank you for joining us.
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm super excited to chat with you and have all the listeners learn about you and who you are. I'm excited to dive into your story. Before we do, quickly, please don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, share the episode. Definitely to support Melissa, right? The whole reason why we shifted the podcast to this reason was to help everybody grow, not just us, but to help everybody grow and our list and the people that we have on and our guests as well. So for the multifamily mindset's sake and for Melissa's sake, we definitely invite you to share this episode to your friends and family for sure. It's going to be a good one. And you guys are going to learn a lot of cool things about Melissa. Melissa, let's dive in here. The first question, just to kick it off the bat, tell us about your joining of the Multifamily Mindset, this network and this community. Talk us through that.
So I joined in January of 2021. In fact, okay. The weekend that I was supposed to do my fast track is when the freeze happened here in Texas and we got shut down, and it was super scary because we were in Austin and the roads were icing over. So we went to one property and didn't get to see the rest. But so I've been in since then.
You just hit like 3 years. Like you're uh-huh. one of the oldest and longest members within the Multifamily Mindset. It's incredible. Yeah. So it just hit 3 years. That's awesome. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. I just realized that too. I looked down at the calendar. I can't believe it's been 3 years.
That's wild. Yeah.
It goes by so fast. So I got into the network then. And I've been in since. It took us a year and a month to do our first deal, which was longer than I thought it was going to be honest. I really had it in my mind. I was going to do at least one deal 6 months in, and that didn't happen. But a year and a month, really, in the scheme of things, was not long at all. And that after that first one came, six more came right behind it in the same year. So it
domino effect for sure. Yeah, right. I hear Tyler has referred to this. A bunch of people have referred to it as the law of the first deal, right? You get your first deal done and then it continues to steamroll and you're able to do so much more, and your belief enhances so much after that first deal as well. Awesome. I want to come back to that first deal. We'll definitely come back to that first deal and chat about those for sure. Since you've been within the Multifamily Mindset, how has that been, not just for your career, but for your life?
You know, you and I were talking about this off camera. I think it's so important to have a network like this, because we don't just talk about multifamily real estate with our family and our friends around the dinner table normally, not unless you're doing I'm single, but my kids don't want to hear about it, you know, sure, and my sure. family doesn't want to hear about it. And so when you're really excited about something, or something is predominantly in your life, like underwriting so many deals a night, people just don't understand what's going on or what goes into it. And when you have the ability to have a network around you that you can ask questions to, people who've done it before you can talk about the problems that they've had, so you also don't have those problems. Like, it's just so valuable to do that. But the biggest thing for me and for my family, because one of the things I got to take away from my weekend with Tyler the first time was just this mindset shift of, it's not that I can't, it's how can I? And so being able to dream about a future, and we can get into my past here in a minute if you want, but being able to dream about a future that I didn't even think was possible at that point in my life just was amazing for me. But then I was able to take that home to my children and say, hey, you know, and I had a daughter who was struggling with anxiety and depression, suicidal stuff for 7 years. We never thought about a future for her. She wouldn't think about a future for her. And when I was able to come home and say, hey, money off the table, what do you want to do with your life? Like, what would be a dream of yours? And to have her sit and think and dream of a life that she wanted for herself, which was she wanted to do effects makeup. And I was like, well, we don't need to be super rich to do that. Like, you know, and so I literally enrolled her into cosmetology school right after that. Like, I was so glad that she dreamt of that for a little while. And then after that, the next year, the first year of Peak, I took her to Vegas with me and I let her meet Tyler, and she got to kind of sit in those conferences and experience what a room of people who are like-minded and motivated and wanting to just do so much more with their life. And she got to sit in that room and experience that. So, you know, I'm happy to say she's still with us today. And I'm a mom of a 4-year-old and or 4-month-old. And I'm just, you know, I'm grateful for that forever and ever. So that's how it changed my life.
It's so amazing, the amazing people that are within this network. And that answer, like we just got done talking about how you did your first deal and then you did six deals after that. Like, I think the typical answer would be, oh, since I joined multifamily mindset, I've acquired so much real estate and I've done so, and I'm so wealthy now because I joined it. But that wasn't your answer. And I think that shows a lot of, I think that shows a lot to the true core of what multifamily mindset is. It's that mindset shift that you have to
Yeah.
make. That does it benefit your real estate career for sure, but it's going to benefit every other aspect of your life as well. So thank you for sharing
Yeah,
that.
and
I
I
think
would
that's
tell
so
you
cool.
that the biggest thing I learned during this journey was it's not about the money. Just like you said, it's not about the money. It's about what this life can get you. Like what can I do with this? What kind of time can I have back? What are the things that I miss that I don't have to miss anymore? Where could I go? Because you know, a friend of mine somewhere needs me, or some ministry that I want to be a part of, whatever. I no longer have to ask permission or time off or anything to go do that. I just go do it, you know? And there's just some freedom in that. That's what real freedom is, I think.
I would agree with you. I would agree with you a ton for sure. So listen, so you join multifamily mindset. You've had this big mindset shift that's blessed your life. That's amazing. You've done all that amazing work to be able to have that true change in your life. So definitely want to give you the accolades there, right? It's like, yeah, you came into an amazing community with amazing people, but you made the shifts, you made the changes. So I want to give you the praises there that you deserve as well. It is it, it it's been quite awesome to see, because I know your story a little bit, right? We've chatted about it. So where are you at now when it comes to real estate? How much real estate is it that you do hold? Or
Seven,
you and your company. Sorry, if you
yeah,
want to
me and my
introduce your
company.
company as well, please.
So, and this all started before multifamily mindset. My partner and I, Casey, he's out of California. We were flipping houses together. So I'd been in real estate for a long time, and then we started flipping houses together, and it just we weren't able to grow those numbers as fast as we wanted to. And one day he was like, "Hey, we need to do syndications with apartments." And so we had started researching and reading books and stuff a year before we ever got an advertisement for multifamily mindset. And now we own seven apartment complexes.
Real quick,
Okay.
in that first year, you and your partner Casey just studying it, were you guys able to acquire any
No,
apartments?
nothing.
No,
No.
okay.
And I felt like until I got in that room for that 3-day weekend, it didn't click.
Okay.
So all the things I'd been reading and studying, I kind of understood it. And I probably had a leg up because I spent 12 years as a property manager in real estate prior to this. And so I understood the parallels, but it didn't click until I guess I'm just that kind of learner. I just needed to sit in the room and ask questions. But what was fun about that 3-day weekend was I knew a lot of the answers. And so I ended up attracting a lot of people to come talk to me at lunch and at breaks because I had been in title. I had done real estate and knew a lot of the legalities of the property management. And so Tyler and I were able to kind of tell stories during that 3-day weekend.
Yeah.
And mine were based on single family residential, where his was based on apartments. And so it was just really, yeah. So what was the question? I forgot
No,
already.
you
Yeah.
answered it. That was perfect. And
Yeah.
I think it's so interesting and important to notice and recognize too, Melissa. You had a ton of experience in property management and title. You've done other things in real estate that has given you 12 years, you said. That's a lot of experience doing stuff in any field,
Yeah.
right? But you still, you even admitted to you, it still didn't quite click until you were able to sit in a room of like-minded individuals and really learn it. And
Yes.
I think that's super important to understand as well, because I think anybody spends 12 years in a certain industry, they're going to think they know everything about it, right? Real estate, it is a huge industry and there's so many different avenues to real estate, but I listen to people that have been in the real estate industry for 12 years, right? It may just be single family. It may just be residential stuff, but it's almost like they can't even open to other possibilities of other things that are there, right? So then
Yeah,
again,
and
I get
I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't know apartments were a thing.
Right.
at all. Yeah. And
Right.
so, and I started researching that with Casey back in 2020. And one of my, and how we got involved in the, in multifamily mindset is a friend of mine, David Gibson, who also is part of the network. He ended up getting an advertisement for the free half day thing. And then you get, you know, then you go to the 3 day weekend. And so he said, "Hey, I'm going to go to this thing. You should go to." And David's independently wealthy, already owns an apartment complex here in New Braunfels, where I live in Texas. And he goes to this 3 day, he's the first one to sign up for everything. You know, he's like signing up for coaching and all this. And I'm sitting in the room. And let me just give you a little backstory for those who haven't heard my backstory is, yes, I was a property manager and owned real estate, you know, my property management company, and mostly worked with investors, especially out of California for 12 years. I ended up buying a friend of mine's company, my very first broker back before I owned my own company. He was 84. He was like a grandfather to my children. He was dying of cancer. He had a lot of employee theft going on in his company, and he just could not keep an eye on it. And I knew that, and I ended up just going to lunch with him one day and say, "Hey, let me just buy your company." And I did it with no plan, no idea what I was doing. I bought it with my heart and just overpaid. He did end up passing away from cancer, and that company sunk me in the first year because they didn't have all the security deposits. They owed their vendors. Like, there was just a bunch of stuff. I could not dig us out of it fast enough, even as much as I sold in real estate. So I ended up selling the company to another property management company. I went into title for a year, and then I started doing consulting and helping real estate agents open brokerages. And so I've always kept my pulse on this real estate market, but I didn't understand that there was something other than fix and flip or buying a quadplex for an individual who was going to invest in real estate. And so David ends up going to this 3 day thing. I'm hearing about we're going to do this with apartments, and I'm like, "What? This is crazy," you know. And so I took my uncle, who was an accountant. He was also on our team for the first couple years, and he's in a multi-billion dollar business doing accounting, like billion with a B. And so the guy does accounting like you would not believe. And he ends up going to this 3 day class with me, and I'm not going to sign up for coaching. Like, I want to. I raise my hand that I want to. And he leans over and says, "How are you going to pay for it?" Well, I ended up, because I did not have money at that time. When I closed down my brokerage, I ended up having to file for bankruptcy. I lost my house. I lost my car. And this is 7 years later. I'm sitting in this 3 day class wondering how I'm going to pay for coaching. And my uncle's like, "Why are you raising your hand?" I was like, "I don't know." And so we go out, we talk to Jake Dean, and Jake is like talking to my uncle. And I was like, "Listen, you convince him because he's going to be the hardest sell. Like, no, like if he says no, I will say no," because we had a conversation about it. I learned my lesson with the first business. I will concede to your advice on this one. If you're not convinced, cool. I'm good, you know. Though I jokingly lean over to David and say, "Hey, can I borrow some money for coaching?" And he's like, "You need it?" And I was like, "Okay, that's funny." But let me tell you what made my uncle sign up. So we were the very last ones. You talked to Jake all 3 days, several times a day. He kept going out there asking him questions. I didn't go with him. I let him ask whatever he was going to ask. David on the second day says, "Hey, Uncle, sorry, I don't know you, but I've known Melissa her entire career. I've seen her fall. I've seen her pick herself back up and rebuild her life." He said, "If you need the money, I will give it to you, and you can just pay me back on your first deal." And I was like, "Oh, that's really sweet. And thank you. I would never do that." But I'm like, I'm crying when I'm leaving. Like, this is so cool to have somebody believe in you. My uncle, when we left, he said, "Do you realize what he just said about you?" I was like, "Yeah." And I'm trying not to cry. "Can we leave?" You know? And so that was the reason my uncle paid for the coaching, was because David believed in me and had seen me fall, get back up, and do this again. So I'm sitting in this 3 day class realizing, I'm excited. There's this excitement in me. I know this is the opportunity to rebuild my life for real, for real, and still be in real estate, which I love. You know, I've always loved the opportunities. And so that clicked for me. Like, yes, this is what I want to do. And I want to bring people along, LPs and everything, GPs, of course, too. But I also want to say, this business is possible, just like Tyler does. You know, that's exactly what I want to do, is just encourage people. Like, this is possible. You can do this, you know?
So thank you for sharing that. I think that alone is very inspirational, and I think a lot of people find themselves in situations similar to yours, Melissa. All of a sudden, they what they thought they were doing, following their heart, You know what I mean? Making their lives passion, also their lives work. They may make some mistakes along the way when that happens, right? They may like it's so they may have to file bankruptcy, like you talked about. Like that does happen
But then
until
you have a network like this that has
you find yourself in a situation
yeah.
where all of those things happened for you to
Yeah.
be in that situation that you're in right now, not for you, right? They happened for or they happened for you,
For
not
you,
to
not
you,
to
right?
you.
So it's just it's an incredible thing to hear. So Melissa, you 7 years after you filed bankruptcy, I don't want to assume things, but it sounds like you were still struggling
I was
financially,
rebuilding my life. Yeah, I was living paycheck to paycheck.
getting ready to go into the workshop. Couldn't afford to even sign up for mentorship. Had to have somebody else help you there. But now we've talked about how you've closed seven deals. So let's walk through that. Let's walk through your first deal from bankruptcy, essentially, to being able to close on your first multifamily deal. Let's chat about that first deal. How did that work, and how did you get in as someone who's struggling, living paycheck to paycheck?
Literally, yeah, right? You would think I should not have a seat at the table, that's for sure. So one, Casey and I had already met this other team back when we were doing our research in 2020. And so they had a deal in Savannah, Georgia. So Casey invested in that and we got to kind of learn as LPs at their coattails. And so fast forward, we're in this multifamily mindset course. We're 6 months in. I'm super frustrated because I feel like we're underwriting a gazillion deals a week, and we're sending LOIs, we're not getting any traction. And I ended up talking to Amanda Dearborn, and she's telling me that we're not underwriting enough deals, which is not what you want to hear when you feel like you're giving your all. But she was right because, you know, it takes about 100 deals to underwrite before you even submit an LOI. And so it's really about getting there as fast as you can. And so she's like, hey, you need to kick it up. Well, fast forward a few months after that, we still didn't have our first deal. And I did not want a capital raise. Let me just tell you, coming from a background of filing bankruptcy, losing my first company and everything I owned, my car, my house, like selling every piece of furniture to even come up with the money for a deposit on an apartment 7 years before, I had a limiting mindset. There was no way I was going to ask people for money knowing that I failed before. And so I had a few people who had just naturally come out saying, hey, I saw you're doing this multifamily thing. If you ever get a deal, let me know. So in my mind and in Casey's mind, we had about 12 people who would for sure, that's what we thought in our mind, for sure is going to invest in any deal that we do, right?
Right.
So we end up, I was a guest on another podcast and they're like, hey, you should go raise capital for somebody else's deal just to get some experience and get on a team and learn from them. And I was like, okay. So we called up that team we were LPs on, and we had a deal in Savannah, Georgia. They had just went full cycle on it. They were going to do a deal in Augusta, Georgia. They're like, yeah, you're early enough. We can get in. How much do you think you can bring to the table? And we're like, you know, in our mind, we thought a million. So we thought we'd be safe and save 500,000. And they said, okay, the minimum to earn GP on this deal is 250. We're like, cool.
We
So
got this.
we got
We
this.
got
We got it.
this. We can do
We got
this.
12 whole people that
Feeling,
said they would do a deal with us.
feeling firm.
So confident and just like, yeah, we could do that. We were so cocky. It was so funny. So we end up calling all 12 people, and two of them end up investing with us, each of them 100,000. Well, we're not making that 250 number. So Casey ends up putting 50 of his own money into the deal so we can earn GP. And that's how we got GP on that first deal. So then we're like, yay. And it was the end of, it was 1st of February of 2022. So that was when we closed on that deal. And I put it on Facebook, and all of a sudden, people came out of the woodworks. Apparently, they've been watching our journey on social media as we underwrote, because I would always tell the story of like underwriting these properties. I'm going to tour this property in Dallas, or I just shared what we were doing all the time. And so all of a sudden, these other potential investors, like, oh, I've been watching your journey. That's so cool. Like, keep me posted. I'm interesting. Let's go to coffee. Let's go to lunch. You know, let's have a Zoom meeting. And so all of a sudden, I built up all these extra people into our network of potential investors. Well, then I end up getting another person in MFM called and said, hey, we have another deal. Would you like to get in on that one? So we got in on that one. That was our second one. And then Peak came around the first year of Peak, and another our lender connected us with somebody, and so we had a deal in Houston, and it was for accredited. And so I think you called me actually and said, "Hey, would you like to pitch at Peak? But you have to have an accredited deal." And I was like, "I got one." And so we pitched, and we raised. It was crazy because the main sponsors like, "Okay, let's set up a webinar for Monday when we get back from Peak." So we got all these people signed up. We had 28 people said that they were interested in the deal from being on stage. And so we had a webinar that Monday. And on the webinar, the sponsor's saying, "By the way, the deadline is Friday." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, I have," and it was a short week. And so I was like, "I have 3 days to raise $1 million." Like, and that, let me talk about like your feet to the fire at that point. I have never been busier in my life. I just started calling all 28 of those people, having conversations, answering questions, getting them wire instructions, and just it was crazy. I've never done one so fast. And so we ended up getting that one done. And then fast forward, at a conference, another team told us about a deal they had in Georgia. Of course, we like Georgia, so we got on that deal with them. And after that, we had repeat investors, and it was easy to just say, "Hey, here's this deal we're getting in on. You interested?" And so we brought
That's
about
awesome.
$1 million to every deal we did after that. But
That's awesome.
for full transparency, we hadn't done our first GP as the main team still. We
Still.
still underwrite 10 to 12 deals a week, but obviously the market's changed. And we know that. And so we're seeing some numbers come closer to reality as we shift back into a buyer's market. And of course, on these deals, half of our deals we had bridge loans on, and half of them are they have great depreciation, but they're not on cash flow yet. And then half of them are cash flowing. And so it's really like 50-50 out there. And every deal is different. Every lender is different. Every property manager is
Absolutely.
different. And there is just something to
Absolutely.
learn on every single deal. So
Absolutely.
I don't regret the underwriting because we've learned so much. It's so much easier to underwrite now. I don't regret capital raising. I thought that was a
No
beautiful
way.
thing to do, even though I had to overcome my own fears. Millionaires asking me what I like about a deal when I just filed for bankruptcy 7 years ago, it made no sense to me, but they never asked me
How
where
did
I
you get
went.
over that? How did you get over that?
I think the conversations were easy. They were asking me, "What do you like about the deal?" And I would tell them what I didn't like about the deal first. I'd say, "Listen, this one's in Houston. Houston has hurricanes, but listen, this is not in a flood zone. This property is never flooded, and we have insurance. So I'm okay with it, but that's something I just don't love about this property. But what I do love about it is blah, 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 blah." And we would just have these honest conversations. I never put on airs. I never acted like I didn't know anything I didn't. And if I didn't know the answer, I'd say, "You know what? I don't know that, but let me call the sponsor real quick and see if I can get them on the phone." And most of the time, I could just do a three-way and would answer a quick question and move on. But they never asked me what I drove, where I lived, where I went to college, how much money I had in the bank, how much money I had of my own money in the deal. Those questions never came up. And they started following me even on social media. So we were having these relationships. They didn't see who I am,
It's interesting how we disqualify ourselves as an excuse not to take action, because that's really what it sounds like, right? It was like, oh, I'm not qualified. Even though it's because it scares you is why you weren't taking action. But we like to create these things that dequalify us to do these things that we're just as qualified to do as anybody else, right? Especially when it comes down to like actually what that phone call was about. It was about an investment opportunity. It wasn't about Melissa's past, what
Past.
she's done in her life. Like that's not what it was about at all, right? So I love that you shared that, and I love how you shared that, right? It's just about getting out there and doing the phone call and realizing that all these limiting beliefs, all these things that you've made up about yourself, they're just not even true, and they're not even important.
Yeah, and I
So
think that is the number one conversation I have with new students into MFM. Every time I meet with them or go to a 3-day conference and speak about my experience, they'll ask me questions, and they were like, "How do you ask people for money?" Well, I'm not asking them for money for myself. I am presenting an investment opportunity, just like you said, and they like it or they don't. And every investor is different. Some want cash flow, some want tax, deferment. Some, they're all different appetites. All I'm doing is presenting black and white facts. Here you go. Here's what you need to know about it. Here's the projections. Here's what we're going to do for the value add. Here's how we're being super conservative. And they decide. And I have no emotion about it. That is the other thing is I don't care if they invest or not. I truly don't. It really is a here's an opportunity. If it's not for you, cool. And I've had people turn me down and call me 2 weeks later and ask if it was still open.
No,
And then
absolutely.
invest.
Right. And it's because it's that transparency thing. Like you're offering them something that's real and tangible. And if it doesn't work for them, then they shouldn't do it. And if it does work
Totally.
for them, how can we make it happen so that you, so it's in line with your goals and what it is that you're trying to do. So I kind of want to back up here just a little bit, Melissa. Just that first GP deal you got. I was taking a few notes. So there was four main things that popped out to me
Okay.
when you talked about getting your first GP deal. The very first two things that you mentioned right off the bat was your partner and networking. Those were the very first two things that you mentioned right off the bat was my partner and we had done some networking and my partner knew some people and we knew that. So it was like networking and your partnership was the very first thing that popped out. But
In
then
fact,
that
networking was so important to me after that second deal that we did that we made it a goal to go to an event every quarter at
So I
least.
love it. So those were the first two things I noticed. But even as you were telling your story, you said that that wasn't enough. That still wasn't doing it until you really got a hold of Amanda, and Amanda pushed your buttons a little bit to underwrite more deals, do some more. And then if I know anything about Amanda, shout out Amanda Dearborn, I guarantee she held you accountable. I
Oh,
guarantee
yeah.
she followed up. She followed up and made sure that there was something there. So that was the third thing that I wrote was accountability. So partnership, networking, accountability. And then the fourth thing that you kind of slid in there that I definitely want to highlight that I think was probably the fourth and maybe even the biggest thing was those past LP opportunities that you did take. Right. So yeah,
Yes, yeah.
those past LP opportunities that you did take where you weren't necessarily a GP on
Yeah.
a deal, but you were helping other GPs with deals. So you may have got a little bit of a lesser position on those deals, but it's because of those lesser positions that you were able to ultimately get this GP position. And correct me if I'm wrong on any of that.
No, that's correct. And the other thing is, because of those LP positions and having now talked to those people, been on those teams, been a part of those properties the last few years, like I have great relationships with a bunch of different sponsors, a bunch of different lenders, property managers, asset managers. And so as we are underwriting deals still and submitting LOIs and pitching them, I literally am just texting sponsors that are my friends now saying, hey, I got a deal and, wherever, are you interested? Let me in send it over to you. Then we can hop on a call and talk about it. And they answer my call. They do not, it's a completely different conversation than when we were new. When we were new, those first conversations with sponsors were just like, I remember one of them telling us like we weren't being conservative enough in our underwriting. And it's kind of like, oh, okay. And you take that feedback at first, like, oh, I don't know what I'm talking about. But now we're having very confident conversations because we know what they want. We know how to answer their questions. And that just comes with time and being on these deals. So I would say, even if you're only going to be an LP and kind of sit back and get an opportunity to attend these meetings and kind of learn about the property without the anxiety of having to perform yourself, which is a
Right.
team needs to do,
Totally. Totally.
you have this ease of like just learning and hearing
Yeah.
stories and saying, oh, interesting. So when I get my deal, I'm not going to do that,
No, absolutely. Oh, I love that you brought that up. I love that you highlighted that. There's almost like a sense of calmness when you're going through the deal as an LP because there's no risk. There's zero risk for you at that point, right? There's zero risk for you. So you're going through to really learn and to observe and to watch. And that how valuable has that been?
That has been
Those
amazing.
opportunities, especially out the gate.
Yeah. And let me tell you, I was just a fly on the wall for the most part. Like, we, this deal in Augusta, Georgia, we were, it was a year before I finally chimed in and said, hey, so are we on social media? Like, what are we doing? Because, I've been doing marketing for the last 8 years. And so I'm like, hey, like, can I suggest this? And they're like, you know what? Let's have another phone call. And all of a sudden I'm helping, start social media pages, run Google ads outside of the apartments.com stuff, just like helping bring tenants a different channel. And I now get to serve in a way that I just was fly on the wall listening like to updates with nothing to say for a year,
And yeah, it's amazing, and building those relationships. And Melissa, as someone that's kind of been in a very similar seat that you've been, I know that that's recognized. You know what I mean? I know that that's recognized, you showing up to those meetings, even if you are a fly on the wall, taking notes, being there, listening, understanding. And then when you do have something of value, not being afraid to speak it up, not being afraid to speak it up and add to the conversation rather than just take from the conversation. So I love that. And I love your perspective of, yeah, you probably didn't make that much money on those LP deals, but the experience that you gained is probably, I don't want to speak for you, but just as valuable as the ones that you did make some money on.
Well, I will tell you the cash depreciation was really kind to me as an entrepreneur. Like
It's also very true.
I got
Yeah.
money back for the
That's
first
awesome.
time. I've been paying taxes forever. I was like, what? I'm getting money back? Like, that's weird.
That's hilarious. That's amazing. No, that's awesome. So there is, I mean, even when you don't expect the financial gain, there is one there because it's real estate, and that's just how real estate does. It keeps blessing you for sure. For
Yeah,
sure. That's
totally.
awesome.
We
That's
always
awesome.
said with real estate, there's no ceiling.
Yeah.
There's also no floor, but there's no ceiling.
That's a good way to look at it. That's hilarious. Well, Melissa, as we wrap up this episode, I just want to thank you for taking the time, sharing your story. And it's so motivating, and it's so good to hear that even when you have a ton of experience in real estate and you're still a little bit lost and you do fall on your face, that you can pick yourself back up, switch your mindset, and be able to create an incredible portfolio. I don't think we ever said this portfolio entirely. So now, us knowing everything about you, Melissa, what is your portfolio with One Vision Capital currently?
7 properties, 101 million.
And nearly 1,000 doors.
Yes, 974 doors.
That's incredible. And that's all done within the past th 3 years, 2.5 years.
All of it was done in 2022.
Okay,
Didn't do we didn't do a deal in 2023 as the market shifted. We still underwrote deals, but
sure.
we haven't done a deal in a year. But we listen, I'm still busy. I'm
Oh no,
still on those calls, right?
and managing those deals from 2022, I bet they're profitable deals. You know what I mean? And I bet they take a lot of time for you to manage and stuff too. So it's no, this is incredible, especially what the market is right now and how you guys are managing and doing so great with your portfolio. It's so amazing. Melissa, if there was anything that you like, any pointers or anything that you would like to give entrepreneurs in general through the experience that you've been from your life's experience, what would it be?
I think because I had to overcome my limiting beliefs with money, one of the key things that really played a role in this was one sponsor in passing said, "Hey, any of y'all ever read the book The Energy of Money by Maria Nemeth? It's a psychologist." And I was like, and everybody said no, but I took a note, I bought it, and that book was life-changing for me because it worked through all these limiting beliefs from childhood and just how you grew up with money and kind of your beliefs around money. And I think that and having to physically just ask, have those calls with those potential investors and realize it's not about you. I think that was, for me, that was the biggest hurdle that I overcame. So I would give that tip is fix your mindset around money, because if you feel that you don't deserve it, or you're not worthy, or you don't deserve a seat at the table, you're going to act accordingly. And so that really needs to be fixed as soon as possible. So take the steps to work through it, either not just mindset, I got counseling for a year just to help, and it really
It's
did.
incredible. No, it's incredible. No, I'm a big proponent of counseling and therapy if that's what you need to get through those things. That's incredible. Mention that book one more time. I love that that's how you ended that, Melissa. That touched me because it's so true. It's so true. There's the inner work. Dallas has been talking about it a bunch
Since
lately.
day one,
It's that inner work. You gotta take care of that. Once you can take care of that inner work, all these other things start to stack on top of themselves the way they're supposed to. And the and a little bit. So, what was the name of that book? Tell us one more time.
It's The Energy of Money by Maria Nemeth. and she's a psychologist, and she opens the book by talking about how there was scams going on where people had invested in these Ponzi schemes. And as a psychologist, she did it, and she couldn't believe she did it and fell for it as a psychologist. And she realized she did it because she had a limiting belief around money. And so she gets into that, but then she works through the, you end up working through these exercises and asking hard questions like, how did you grow up with money? Were bills talked about? Or did you earn an allowance? Did you ever have to save? Like, and it took me a while to get through the book because it's hard work to sit and ask these questions. But then she has you dream about the future and eventually do a vision board, which you can't see it, but I have that same vision board I did back
I
2 years
love
ago is still on the wall, and it says 74 million in assets. So I think I reached that already.
that. Time to
And
update.
yeah,
Time to update.
I need to put a 2 in front of that or
There you
something.
go. There you go. Melissa, thank you so much for being on with us today. And just another resource for those listening is a book called Killing Sacred Cows. It's about that limiting belief and that mindset struggle around money as well. It's a very good book. Melissa, thank you so much for being on with us today. So grateful to talk with you and chat with you and have everybody hear your story a little bit more. And I learned a ton from you today. So thank you so much for being on. If you want to connect with Melissa, how can people connect with you?
I'm on every social media platform as The Real Melissa Elizondo, REAL Melissa Elizondo.
Okay.
I'm on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. I don't do Twitter.
Okay. Awesome. And you're fairly active too. Your
I'm
content
very
is.
active.
Yeah, your content is very good as well. It's very educational, very, very great. So definitely give Melissa a follow, connect with her. She's incredible. If you need that, I want to just, yeah, if you're new in the network, you'll see Melissa around. She is one of the, she's, there's a handful of individuals that have been grandfathered in for lifetime within the multifamily mindset. And she is one of those individuals just purely from the value that she's added. There's nothing more that we could ask for Melissa rather than just her presence and being in the network. So we're very grateful for her. She's incredible. But Melissa, thank you again so much for your time.
Thank you for
Connect with
having
her.
me.
Yes, of course. Thanks everybody for listening. Have a great rest of your day. Take care.
Multifamily Mindset Podcast.